Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. I don't know why I started doing the back with so much emphasis.
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
I did.
Back.
Welcome back, folks. My name's Joe. This voice you're hearing now, that's me. That other voice.
I'm Robbie.
Is Robbie. So we sat down to podcast, and we were like, what are we going to talk about?
It's the end of the year.
It's the end of the year.
It's a couple days before Christmas. It's like, man, it's hard to focus.
We've been grinding on, you know, like the roundup type stuff. Like we got all our best Chromebooks of the year out. We got our gear of the year out. Our favorite tech that we've used. I just wrote another one yesterday of like
best our budget
devices under $300, which surprisingly
big list.
There are a lot, and there are several fantastic Chromebooks you can buy right now.
Well, the fun part
for under $300.
Talking budget, like it feels freeing because it's like, cool, we can talk about sale prices.
Right,
like
exactly.
When we talk about the whole list of Chromebooks, like, well, I guess we got to stick to MSRP, but when you're talking budget, you're talking about finding deals, you're talking about
you want to get the most bang
dollar
for your buck.
It's like, yeah, well, let's talk about these devices and the sales that they generally go on. So like one of the, I think the Duet, what was on there?
Duet 3.
Duet 3 was on there. It's not
five
on,
is close.
No, it is on sale right now. Yeah, the 5 never goes down. There was something that we put on the list that's not on, oh, the Asus, mm-hmm. the Chromebook Plus CM34.
Yep.
It's not on sale, I don't think, at all right now. But it's been $300 multiple times. And I look back, I forgot it went down to like $279 one mm-hmm. time. And so it's been at three or under three multiple times over the last 6 months, so or last 3 months.
And it
counts.
Yeah, and there's like new devices on there. There's some tried and true devices on there.
And a little bit of something for everybody, I think.
Right. Like you've got big bigger devices, little yeah, small, little
clamshells, detachables. Mm-hmm.
Which is so cool. I love that.
It's a nice selection, and it's, you know, I feel like this year, even more so than last year, we're moving more towards that kind of fat middle where the MSRP of good Chromebooks, solid Chromebooks, like I'm using one of the cheaper Chromebook Pluses right now in prep for a review, the 515 from Acer. And, you know, like there are things about it when I stop and really think about it that I'm like, I don't like this part of this. It's a $269 right. Chromebook, you know, right. And I'm like, ultimately, like, is it causing me to not be able to do my job or not get something done? No.
That's what you were
There's
on.
Not anything where I'm just like, oh my God, I can't stand this device. I got to stop. Let's film the review because I don't want to touch this stupid device anymore. Like, it's not that. It's not my favorite.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be some glowing review, but it's, you know, spoiler alert. It's like it's a 3-star. You know, yeah. It's just
solid.
It's good.
It's fine.
It's good.
It's not flashy.
And, you know, it's funny. It's a lot like, you know, I try to remind myself of this, and it's my review process has changed a bit. Like, I would used to, like, use one on the desk and then sometimes, like, sneak and use one at home and do some stuff at the office every once in a while with a different Chromebook. And I've really tried to kind of silo myself because it's the same effect you get when you go to Best Buy or Costco or Sam's or Walmart, and you look at all the TVs next to one another, and you see them one next to the next to the next to the next, it's very easy in that spot to be like, this is way better than that one. And the odd part is, a lot of times, what's even worse is you see like the TV that you own next to something else, and you're like, oh my God, my TV sucks so bad. But then you remember, like, when I went home, I didn't think anything about my TV sucking. Like, it's fine.
Right.
And it's only in comparison, direct comparison, that you really start noticing those things. And yep. So I'm trying to get away from that, because the truth of the matter is that most people that buy a Chromebook, that'll be the only Chromebook that they have. And they're not going to be sitting around comparing it to the Dragonfly Pro or the Spin 714 or whatever, the 516 GE. You know, these Chromebooks that I feel like are kind of elite and awesome and amazing. You know, it's the difference between that kind of Chromebook and a $270 Chromebook Plus 515 is the margin is narrowing a lot. And so it's kind of cool. You know, again, it's not to say that these Chromebooks are perfect or that there aren't things I would love to see improved. But then I also go, at that price point, what are you supposed to say when a device is constantly $250, $260? Like, how am I supposed to complain about anything? Does it work? Yeah, good, done.
I put it in the article yesterday. The value proposition, we talk about that a lot. It's like when the price for what you get for a certain price becomes like, you know, it just outweighs. Like when you're getting so much and you're getting, you know, a full laptop that you can sit and do all kinds of stuff on, and you get decent speakers and the keyboards and the screen looks good. You know, it's not like the old days when we had these horrific screens on these $250.
Horrific screens and really slow processors.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when they'd ship 2 gigs of RAM and stuff. Like these Chromebook Pluses that are going on sale for $250. Like, you got to realize you're getting a fast processor, you're getting 8 gigs of RAM and at least 128 gigs of storage. And none of them have terrible screens.
And a 1080p webcam.
They have okay screens.
Yeah.
Some of them have great screens. But, you know, it's decent and up. It's IPS and up. It's 1080p and up.
Right.
And so, you know, I think in general, Chromebook Plus is succeeding in that way.
Right. Like,
it's doing the job properly, I think, that Google wanted for it to do, which is to introduce great Chromebooks at reasonable prices that may not be the best things ever made, but they sit in the middle. They're at the top of the bell curve, basically.
And it's introducing the spot of the market where, you know, Chromebooks for so long, you know, and even still, you know, have a rap for being cheap, you know, just go, it's a throwaway type device, you know, right. You go spend $200 and get
they're
one.
The,
and it's,
they're the new netbooks.
Yeah, they're you know, they've
if you
got
ever
crappy.
Owned a netbook, I'm sorry, yeah, I had one. Yikes.
They've got, you know, they just had a certain, you know, idea. People have an idea around what they are and what they cost. And although we talk about the Dragonflies and we talk about the Spin 714s and all of these, you know, elegant and super performant devices, the reality is most people going and buying a Chromebook are probably in that middle that now Chromebook Plus is creating some parameters around.
Sure.
And creating, you know, a great user experience for those people that are going and buying those devices.
Well, and it's also the Walmart effect, you know, just spoke to the whole idea of like TVs next to each other. But there's also, you know, if you need to remember what general populist society is, in all matter of speaking, like, you need to go, like, if you're in a rural area, go to a Walmart. Like, that's where a lot of people go to shop of all different, you know, socioeconomic backgrounds and all this stuff. Like, you see all sorts of stuff. And, you know, Walmart gets a rap for, like, all these crazy people go there. It's like, yeah, that happens from time to time. But generally speaking, you know, a lot of people go to Walmart to because the prices are reasonable and you can kind of get everything in one spot. And so then you get the entirety of society there. Well, guess what? When you go to the Chromebook rack at a Walmart, what do you see? You see the absolute cheapest, crappiest Chromebooks. And so it makes sense that they have this rap right now, because the same amount of people, the same survey of the society around you doesn't go to Best Buy.
Right.
Some of those people from Walmart go to Best Buy. Some of them may go to Best Buy once a year or something. Maybe they never go to Best Buy. You know, they go to Walmart a few times a month or whatever, you know, like, and so it's, like you said, we talk about all these different things. We get into discussions about all these certain things. And then, but you got to step back and go, what are general people, like the people just driving down the road, people that are getting their last minute Christmas shopping done, people that are going to court, people that are going to grab food, people that are going to shop for bread and milk, people, you know, like real actual people, what do they actually see when the word Chromebook comes up? And you got to look at Target, got to look at Walmart, like these places, and go, that's the perception. And that's hopefully what Chromebook Plus is here to kind of move that perception in a different direction. Because yes, there are cheap, super cheap Chromebooks out there, and they have 3 or 4 year old small core processors and 4 gigs of RAM and no storage and TN panels and flimsy builds, and they're $150, and that's fine that those things are out there. What I'm glad to see is that, you know, good Chromebooks are starting to come down enough in price where they'll start to just offset those.
Yeah.
You know, like the basic general experience people will get with Chromebooks eventually in the next couple of years will be, a lot of it will be Chromebook Plus, you know, the lower end Chromebook Plus models. And I don't have to worry about then spending time, like, I don't know, we've done it for so long, of trying to reconvince people that Chromebooks are more than just the cheap junk that they've seen at Walmart, you know. And you know, we're hoping that some of those things at Walmart change over time. Maybe they'll start featuring some of the nicer devices. You don't have to only feature them, but to have them sitting there next to the, where people go, oh God, that's a Chromebook? I had no idea that a Chromebook could be like that. You know, like, those are the perceptions that have to change over time. And I think Chromebook Plus so far is doing a pretty good job of moving the needle a bit in that direction.
Yeah, we've talked about the Dragonfly and our hopes of the Dragonfly maybe one day showing up in Best Buy. But we, in general, we talk about these anchor devices that you might see in a retail spot. You know, when you go up to all of the Chromebooks in Best Buy, you might see that one on the end that's like, oh wow, that's the one that I saw the commercial for, and that one's really cool. Oh, that one's $500 though, but this one's $250. Okay, well, that one does most of the stuff. You have these anchor devices, and it's like, if Chromebook Plus now has a nice range where you can get the $500, but then you can also, oh, hey, here's this one that's $250, this $515 that's does a lot of what I need, and oh, that'll work, and you're still getting a decent Chromebook.
Yeah, I think, you know, just maybe 2 years ago, that was still in play, but the price points are different. So your anchor devices, your Halo devices, were the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook, the Asus 436. Well, the 436 never was in Best Buy much. I'm trying to think of another high-end device. I mean, obviously the Pixelbook was.
Yeah, Pixelbook.
You know, these types of devices, kind of Pixelbook Go. The Pixel Slate, even though it kind of tanked, you know, like, it was this higher-end device. Those devices were $1,000, $900. And so then it's like, okay, well, then the next step is, well, I can't afford that, so what's my next thing to get? A lot of that goodness is still $700. I feel like all of that has slid down. Mm-hmm. So now you've got these devices. I feel like that, like in the Spin 714, for instance, like, it's a great device and maybe an aspirational one for some people that are going to look. They're like, I'm not spending $700 on any laptop. Like, I don't have $700 to spend. But they see that sitting on the shelf. They see something like the, you know, we have our little nits to pick with the X360 14C, but something like that, it's a $700 Chromebook. It looks great on a sitting on a shelf. You know, what's another one that's kind of like the Acer 516? I mean, it's been on sale so much, but it's $650 normally. You know, now you're at that $650. Is now the, these are fantastic devices. Fantastic. I can't afford those. But now the slide down isn't to sliding down to $600. It's sliding down to like $400, $450. And then those devices go on sale for $350, $400. And so it makes the entire thing more approachable. And there just used to be this massive fall off on the end of affordable Chromebooks. It's like you had these mid, quote unquote, mid range price Chromebooks that were usually $500 to $700 is kind of where that sweet spot was. Like, man, these are good Chromebooks, but they never come down in sale more than $600 or, you know, $550. You're getting, that's as low as it's going to go. And so those devices would always sit there, and you'd have to go, okay, well, I can't afford that, so what's next? And the next felt like you jumped off a cliff. And it's like, oh, to get down to $300, I'm going to sacrifice everything. So this one, other than being a thing that opens up in a clamshell mode and runs Chrome OS, they don't have any similarities. This one's keyboard is terrible. There's no backlighting on it. The trackpad's bouncy, plastic, and crappy. The build quality's flimsy. The screen looks terrible. It's got a terrible gamer in it, and it's really thick, and it's slow as all get out and has no memory and no storage. So compare that to that $600 one you're looking at. It's like, well, these are almost two different pieces of hardware, like completely. And that's, I feel like that chasm is basically gone now. Like, you can slide down that price gap and be like, yeah, this is still pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, these are still pretty good devices, you know? Yeah, they have little issues, but I love the fact that that's the case. And yes, if you want to get down to the $150 range, which I've always felt, even like now, a year ago, 5 years ago, if you pay $150 for a laptop, just, you can't expect anything. And maybe you get the Slim 3 that keeps dropping down to $150. And I'm like, that's the one device that keeps dipping into that ridiculously low price that does not feel it, doesn't look it, and it doesn't act like it. I mean, is it the fastest Chromebook you're ever going to use? No, not even close. That Campagnolo processor is meant to handle a few tasks, and that is all. Like, don't push it any farther. But guess what? You don't have a crummy screen. Guess what? You don't have bad build quality. Guess what? You don't have a terrible screen, keyboard and trackpad. It's overall a pretty nice device to use, yeah. And it can get a lot of stuff done. So for $150 where you expect nothing, like this is going to be a piece of trash, you get a device that's not bad. And it's like, that's the scale we moved. I feel like the entire thing has just been pulled and slid back about $300, everything. So what used to be a $350, $400 Chromebook drops down to $150 every once in a while. It's like, that's a quick change. I mean, I feel like it's an 18-month, maybe 24-month change that's happened, and it's nice. I'm ready for all the super crappy N4020, you know, N3050 Chromebooks to just be done and gone and, like, off shelf. Stop
don't
selling
even,
them.
Don't even sell those anymore. Like, just
and like
get
in our
rid
buying guide, we basically try to say, like, please don't buy that unless you see it for like $80 or something. You know, something ridiculous that it's like, well, I mean, if it turns on at
and
that
you're
price,
gonna,
like,
you're going to open it up and get on Facebook and that's it.
Right.
You know,
and you're still going to be like, man, I can't, the screen is terrible on this thing. Like, and yes, it's slow as all get out for everything. Nothing you're going to do is going to be fast. It's not like, oh, well, if you keep it tame, it'll be fine. Like the Slim 3 is that way. If you don't do like 10 things at a time, it will feel fast. Like, it's just, you got to limit it and be careful with it. Some of those older Chromebooks that are going for $100-$150 that have, again, an N3050 or an N4000 in them or whatever, like, you're going to feel it at every step. You'll feel it while you're setting the damn thing up. Like, it's going to feel slow. And I'll be glad when more of those are gone. Like, they're going away, and a few more good Slim 3 style devices, you know, dip down. I mean, the Flex 3 jumped down to $179 the other day. That doesn't even make sense. If you've ever picked up that device, that makes no sense.
You're getting a lot of
good stuff,
great features in a Chromebook for less than $200.
And I mean, we're tracking. I haven't written this post yet. I've been kind of holding on to it for the right time. And I think January is going to be the right time to post it. But you know, I'm still tracking at least a dozen more of these. You know, the code name for the main board is Nisa. But they're all the small core Alder Lake N, so N100, N200, N305 chips. And by the way, the N305 is a Core i3 that's in Chromebook Plus, so some of those are going to be Chromebook Plus devices. But still, they're small core. They're meant for more affordable devices like the Flex 3i, like the some of the more affordable Chromebook Plus models. So it's aiming at that 4 and under kind of price point. So I think we'll see a whole slew of those. And once they all show up, guess what? Now they're all fighting for viability. It's going to push prices down even further. Like, they're coming.
Yeah,
and it's going to be another, I think, move. I don't want to say, you know, a race to the bottom, because that signifies an Android type thing where it's like, build the cheapest hardware you can for the lowest price. But it's a move towards the bottom. Like, it's a move towards, like, hey, we're going to try to build the best possible thing we can while attacking this price point. And, you know, if there's competition there, when there's no competition, people can just get away with building whatever they want. But all of a sudden, there's already competition. Like, it doesn't matter. The bar has been set by Lenovo in this space. Like, you can't show up with a $300 Chromebook when the Flex 3i exists, or the Flex 3, or no, sorry, yeah, the, I thought Slim 3. When the Flex 3i exists and when the Slim 3 exists at their price points, you can't show up with trashy hardware because you'll just get sold out. Like, people are going to go keep buying the better thing at the same price. So now it's like, well, I guess we got to figure out how to make this good. And that's good. It's good for everybody. It's good for competition. It's good for consumers. It's good for this low-end space. So I really do think, you know, I thought when we saw the Flex 3i at CES last year, I was like, this is going to be the beginning of something crazy. We just haven't seen all those devices show up yet. Like, we've seen some of them. But I think there's quite a few more on the horizon that'll come out before whatever the next, like the small core Intels, I feel like have a year and a half to 2 year cycle. So, you know, we're coming towards the end of the end cycle of devices, but they're great chips for Chromebooks. They are great chips. They're tried and true. They're tested. They work well, great battery life, great performance, very low need for fans, N100 and 200. I don't know, have to even have fans. Lots of great stuff going on there. And so we could see now another five or six devices hitting the consumer market,
right, yeah,
with these chips in them in different ways. Maybe some Chromebook Plus, maybe some not. But all pushing towards that sub $300 MSRP range, way down on sale all the time. And it creates some real competition in that space that is great for consumers.
We've talked about it so much on this podcast over the years about the maturation of the market. More competition is good for consumers. You know, like, as we get more and more devices that are pushing the envelope for affordability and performance, it's just going to help consumers. It's going to eventually drive prices, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, we always have to remember too that the Best Buys of the world, you know, they're making very, very calculated decisions on, sure. And we've had a few conversations here lately with some folks about just the market and, you know, some of this stuff about retailers and how they're making decisions and where kind of Chromebooks are at. And they are making very, very calculated decisions what they buy to keep in inventory to put on their shelf. And it's changing, you know, it's changing, and the market is, you know, what people actually go buy will drive the market. And yep. And Google pushing Chromebook Plus is just this beautiful thing that's happening, and it's yeah, we keep saying it, but it's the new thing we're going to be
I think it's a sign of a realization from Google, from retailers, that for right now, you know, as we enter the end of 2023 and into 2024, where consumers are comfortable spending money on Chrome OS is in this price range.
Right.
You know, the money is in $300 to $600. That's
right.
Where it's at. And that's where almost all Chromebook Plus models sit. And even if they're a little bit above that MSRP, they're on sale in that range easily all the time. And so,
and if they're not on sale right now, they'll be on sale soon. Just wait.
Like, you know, it's tempting to think like, well, Christmas is almost here and the whole holiday season will be behind us, you know, in just a few days, technically. I mean, in a week we'll be into the new year, and it's so tempting to think like, oh, well, I guess all the deals will go away. I better get something now. And as much as we would love to utilize our affiliate marketing and say, yeah, go buy something right now, because we get a little bump on that. The truth is, we've had wild deals all year. All year long. It
year.
Never, ever
all
stopped.
Year.
It never stopped.
There was
I remember
not
thinking
there,
like,
man,
it's going to dry up at some point. And it just didn't, because the competition forces it now.
Exactly. Yeah,
like
exactly.
You almost can't just drop a Chromebook at $700 and not have something come off of it. Like, and it's probably going to, I feel like it's going to move into a Kohl's model. So if you've never been to a Kohl's.
Kohl's cash, baby.
You'll go and check out at Kohl's, buy three shirts, and they'll tell you you saved $175. I mean, it's so dumb. Like, they mark up their stuff to put it on sale. Like, everything's on sale all the time. And so I feel like it's going to move a little bit in that direction, just because, like, that's the nature of the beast. Like, if it looks bad for your Chromebook not to be on sale, well, then I got to MSRP it in a way that I can sell it to still make money. So, you know, I think some of that's already happened. There are certain Chromebooks that are out there right now that the MSRP to me is a little ludicrous. The X360 14C is one of them. That device is not a $700 Chromebook.
No.
When you pick it up, it's like, this isn't $700.
Nope.
For $700, it should have a 400-nit IPS screen. It should have, you know, some metal on the bottom so it's not flimsy. You know, it's got some nice features. Don't get me wrong. It does. But for $700, if I just was going to walk in and pay MSRP, I shouldn't be worried about those things in a Chromebook. That's just not the thing. And there are other devices that handle all those things at the same price point. The Spin 714 is the perfect antithesis of the X360. Like, it's like, yeah, same price, better screen, better build quality. Like, I have all the stuff you got, and it's better. Like, it's just a better device. And so it's like, I think we're going to see devices like, I think the X360 14C Chromebook Plus has been on sale, I bet, 80% of the time it's been available.
Yes.
At least.
Yep.
They're like, every once in a while, there'll be a
maybe
day where
more.
It's like, hey, it's back up to MSRP, and it lasts for like 3 days, and
right.
then it's back. Now it's been on sale. It's been the most wild on sale of any of the Chromebook Pluses. It goes $330 off.
I was
going to
say $350 off, but it was $330.
It was $350 one time.
It did go $350.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's gone to $350, but it sits at $370, $380 a lot. Like, it's at $500 right now. It's on sale for that price so often that at $500, I'm like, hey, just wait.
The retailers are like, we're making $5 on this device.
I mean, it's crazy. And my guess is there's probably some manufacturer
kickbacks or something,
and some spiff type stuff where they're incentivizing those devices, whatever. That can work in 100 different ways. My point is, HP clearly built that device knowing they were going to leave room for it to be on sale a lot. And so, you know, I don't think they have to be that aggressive, you know, but they could fix a few things in that Chromebook and put it on sale for $150 and all day, every day at $550. If it had a rigid frame on the bottom and it had a 400-nit screen on it, all day, every day, it would probably be one of the best Chromebooks on the market, period.
Yes.
You know, and these are little tweaks for a company that clearly knows how to fix those things.
Like,
those are weird corners to cut. Like, stop doing that.
Like, you all chose probably, I mean, the screen is one of the worst cut corners that you could put.
Yeah, and it's not a bad screen, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, like,
but for that price, like,
so,
you cut a corner.
Like,
and
look
it's
at
like,
the
why?
Market right now. 14-inch, 16x10, full HD screens.
They're out
are
there.
Like dime a dozen.
They're, I mean, literally everywhere.
They're all over the place. And you have a device that's $499 retail, on sale for $300 all the time in the Asus Chromebook Plus CM34. That's a 300-nit, 14-inch, full HD, 16x10 screen.
And it looks great.
It does. And it's always on sale for $300. You got the Spin 714's got the exact same screen. You got the Flex 5. That's even cheaper, you know, and a more aggressive price point than the HP. All of them have better screens than that device, and the HP is the most expensive. Like, what
and
sense does that make?
Yeah, they're the same size screen. Like,
yeah.
It's the same
just
thing.
Choose a
just
different one.
Go get one. Yeah,
and it probably, weird. At the manufacturing level, might cost you $5 or $10 more dollars or something to change to that brighter screen. But the difference it makes in your ability to get people like us basically going, this thing is awesome, because honestly, if they fix those two complaints,
we would recommend that.
That
thing.
Device would be my 100% always recommend. You want a nice Chromebook? That's the one. That's it. And I hate that I have to constantly go, because at the end of the day, I would rather have, if the HP had a brighter screen and a better like chassis on the bottom. I like the feel of the keyboard, the trackpad. I like the aesthetic of the device. I like
the
speakers.
It's got the big trackpad, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, big glass
huge.
Trackpad. I like pretty much everything about it versus the Acer 714. The 714's more utilitarian, you know, and I don't dislike that device, but I like HP's aesthetic and the way that they build stuff in general. And I'm like, all you had to do, I mean, these are two tiny little things. You know about deflection. I talk to people at HP that talk about deflection in devices. They know that when you pick it up, it shouldn't bend.
I think we learned that term from
deflection.
You all.
I learned it from the HP thing. And I'm just like, of all the people, why? And I shouldn't even get into all this, but I'll say this one thing. The X360 14C, You know, there was the one member had like a navy bottom, white top.
Yes.
I'm not talking about that version of it. The after that one, I want to say 2020 is when the new version came out that was all silver.
Oh, okay. You're okay. Yeah. Yeah.
When they introduced the camera slider thing and all that stuff.
Is that when we did the video of don't buy, like, buy this one, not that one? That
was in 2021 when we explained there was a 2020 model and they look almost identical. So 2020, 2021, 2022, and 20. So there's four. I'm pretty sure there's four evolutions of this device because, yeah, 10th, 11th, and then two versions of the 12th gen. I think there's been four. I could be wrong. It might be three. But there were at least two, if not three, versions of the X360 14C that came out that all kind of look alike. Super rigid build. Like, I wish we don't still have one here. I wish we still had one. Super rigid. Still had a 250-nit screen. It was a 16:9, 1080p, you know, 14-inch screen. And so that wasn't the best. It had kind of a big bezel at the bottom. But the entire frame of it was always rigid. It always had, I remember always talking about it, like, man, the build quality on this thing is so nice. So when they did the 14C and they finally extended the screen, I thought to myself when I saw the first one, I was like,
they're going to fix the screen.
They changed the screen. They went to a 16:10. It's going to be a new panel. So clearly they'll fix the nit thing. That won't be a problem. And it's going to have the build quality that they've always had in the 14C because they've always had that. And those two things failed like so hard. And I'm like, I just don't get it. I just do not get it in a device like this. If it was MSRP $400, sure, cheap out on the screen, I guess. But you knew you were going to price it at $700. And you've always had great build quality in this line of, and then all of a sudden you change a small thing and now it's flimsy. Like, I don't understand. Just keep the build quality. Yes, upgrade the screen size, but also like, just go ahead and fix the nit problem there too while you're at it. And it, man, it would have been so good. Like, hopefully, man, we've complained about this a lot this year. Hopefully, I know.
Because
I know,
it's so close.
It's so close to
it's
being so great.
It's so close to being great. That, like, it's so hard not to
talk about
it.
Even if it goes to a 729 MSRP to fix those things, do it. And then put it on sale, maybe a little less aggressively.
Yeah.
Because more people will buy it at that range. You know, it doesn't have to dip down to $379. Like, it's ludicrous that it does that to begin with. You know, and so, like, I don't know. That one is so close. I'm hoping for, you know, I think the springs when they usually put it out. I hope a new one comes along and they really don't have to change much. They really don't. Like, matter of fact, I wouldn't change anything. Swap the panel out, figure out a way, just make the bottom out of a better material. Like, you don't even have to remanufacture anything. Just make it out of aluminum or an alloy of some sort or a plastic that's firm. They're out there. Pick the Slim 3 up.
I was going to say, go check out Lenovo.
3i. Pick up the Slim 3i. Lenovo knows how to pick plastic that doesn't bend all over the place. If you want to put a plastic bottom on it, by all means. Just make sure it's reinforced. Make sure it's not flimsy. Make sure that when I pick it up with one hand, it doesn't click the trackpad, for crying out loud. You know, and you'd have a successful device on your hands.
Listen, HP, I think you all are listening.
Someone is.
Just call us. Give us a ring. Give us a ring.
Before we make those final decisions.
Yeah, just give us a ring. Just let us know what you're going to do. We'll tell you if it's stupid or not.
We don't really know anything about manufacturing. I'll be honest. But
I can tell you.
You send me that thing before you start actually making it. And yeah, go, how about this? And just let me tell you.
Look, we're a third party
consulting firm.
It's now Unbox Media's new branch of manufacturing
testing. Consulting.
Yeah, this is what we do.
I can pick it up. And it won't take you long. Give me 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you all the things fixed. Five minutes.
5 minutes. There you go, HP.
I only charge $8,000 an hour.
$100 million. they're like, we've never even spent $1 million on Chromebook.
It's $6,000 an hour. Yeah. So if it takes me a minute.
Right.
Just $1,000.
Exactly. Easy. Easy.
Well, no, that's not right. $600.
I'm sorry. $600.
Yeah. So 5 minutes, $3,000.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Easy. That's chump easy change money for you guys.
Yeah.
Chump change. Yeah. It is. I mean, obviously, we look at the Chromebook market every single day, and we're looking at it from every manufacturer. You know, I get maybe, you know, HP's in their world. They are referencing other devices, obviously. But, you know, maybe they just, I don't know, they didn't think about that one, or they, whoever was signing off on that one thought it'd be okay, you know, I get that.
It is strange, though, from a company that, it's not like, oh, well, they made the Dragonfly Pro, so they obviously know, but like talking to the engineers, like actually talking to them about the things they consider when they build a Chromebook, like, how did that one slip by? How did that make it out to where they're like, yeah, it's flimsy, but it's okay. That's weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah, we're available. Give us a ring. So there you have it. There's the state of the Chromebook market.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, too, we were having some conversations recently about the expert book from Asus. You know, the Dragonfly Pro, you know, some of those type devices, those $1,000 Chromebooks. Like, there's still a place for those. And I think there's still people out there that will go buy those devices.
Before we did all of this, I was the type of person that would. I'm the target
100
for that kind of device.
Right, you're an enthusiast,
person,
and you want the newest, coolest thing, and the things that's pushing the envelope. It's that type of consumer mentality, and there's other people like you out there, and we just have to remember though that the vast, vast majority of people going and buying Chromebooks
aren't that way.
Yep. And as much as we get really excited about the newest thing, and we're always going to cover that because we are Chromebook enthusiasts, like we are that person that is going to go spend the $1,000 on a device that we want to report on those. We want to tell everybody about those. But then, you know, that middle, the Chromebook Plus market, is exciting, and it's going to continue to push the market into a better place for consumers, where you can go get an excellent Chromebook for a great price. And that's, at the end of the day, all we want. We want everyone who picks up a Chromebook to be like, wow, this is cool. I can do all my stuff, and the screen looks good.
Yep.
And the keyboard feels nice. Wow, I didn't know Chromebooks could do this.
All right, it's not stumbling all over itself.
Yeah, and that doesn't have to cost $1,000.
Right.
It's amazing when it costs $250.
Yeah.
It's incredible when it costs $250. So, it was all of that, like bringing it back full circle, you know, working on that post for under all the devices under 300. At first we were trying to make it like a number, you know, make it like 5 or 7. And then it was like, man, there's more that just right, kind of keep so thinking many. About. And it might change next month, and we'll go back and update that article and add those ones back in. Like,
right.
There's constantly these devices out there right now that are under $300. And yes, those are sale prices. Like, you're going and making a purchase decision, like, we're including kind of sale prices on these. You can get a really, really good Chromebook, and that's awesome. So,
and to steal a quote or a saying, I don't know, I don't remember exactly how MKBHD says it, but to tune it for Chromebooks, he would say that,
we're all waiting.
Good, I think. Yeah, it's like good devices or good Chromebooks are getting really affordable, and affordable Chromebooks are getting really good.
He says that
about phones a lot, but I think he says, I don't know if he says cheap, I can't remember, but he'll say, like, you know, good phones are getting cheap phones are getting good. You know, and it's like, it's that move towards that center mass, you know, like, you know, you want to see the affordable stuff get better, but you also want to see the good stuff get more affordable, you know, and it's a move in both directions that I think we're starting to really experience with Chrome OS. I think it's going to continue. It's going to keep moving in this direction.
Yes.
In 2024, for sure.
Yeah.
That's clearly where everyone is going. Like, we do know that much.
For sure. and we're as excited about Chromebooks as we've ever been. You know, it's like, we'll probably talk about it maybe more in the coming weeks. But, you know, as we're getting closer to CES and thinking about the year to come, and there's some thoughts. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. And, it's funny. A couple years ago, it was so hard to get excited about it. Affordable Chromebooks, like, we had to talk about them because that's what people wanted to go buy, but the options for them to buy were so bad. Yep. And it was like, I just can't bring myself to care about it. Now it's like, finally, we can talk about what I think more people are interested in anyway, and be excited about it too, and not feel like, oh God, I gotta somehow say something nice about this piece of crap. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, there are great Chromebooks that are cheap. This is really cool. Mm-hmm. And cheap Chromebooks that are good.
Yes. You know, I love that. Shout out Marquez. Well, there you have it, folks. That's the episode for today. We were going to talk about something totally different, and then we didn't. So here it is. Robbie went and got the newest
Galaxy Z Fold 5,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at another time. We'll have a special episode.
We'll wait till next week and see if it's still here.
That is in the back of my mind. I'm not gonna, I know. You gotta go through the Robbie phase of ownership.
let me at least say this part about it. I'm pretty good, and especially with foldable phones now. This is the fourth one I've owned. I'm pretty good at discerning. Like, I know in the back of my head. I may not say it out loud to anyone else, but I know in the back of my head pretty quickly. Like, this is gonna go south. Like, I can feel it. Like, I just know it. Like
that. It's like, and you're like trying to make it work, but like, you also know deep down, right, that it's,
maybe I can make myself get over this. Maybe I can work with this.
No, it's fine. That part will be fine. I'll figure it out.
And it's just like, I'm that weird person. Like, it's one or two small things, and that's enough. Like, if it breaks the experience, I'm done. I'm gonna go find something else. The Z Fold 5 is not triggering any of those things for me right now. So
I'll tell you one thing, it's sexy.
It's sexy. Nice. It's nice.
I carried around the Pixel Fold for
put myself through 2 weeks with it.
Yeah, I had it for almost a week and had my SIM in it for a few days, but then my texts were being weird, so I was in the midst of a lot going on, so I had to switch back to my other phone. But the trusty old Pixel 8 here, which I love. I love the little small.
I had to
walk
away from the Pixel 8 Pro because it was doing the same pixely thing with my
your
car.
Freaking Bluetooth. Stupid Pixel.
You know, it's like just constantly not. If you have a car, any car, it doesn't have to be a Tesla. I mean, any car that relies on your phone as the key, like you can set it up as the key for it. I mean, you have certain expectations, and it's one of those just plain old utilitarian things. Like,
yeah, it's no good.
That it screwed up on me multiple times, and I was like, no, I gotta go. So I went back to my S23 Ultra, which I think I've only had one time ever that
it didn't,
my car didn't unlock when I walked up to it. You know, the Pixel 8 Pro did it 3 times in 2 days, I think. It's like, clearly this is not working.
Something is wrong.
I don't know why Google's Bluetooth stack sucks so bad, but it sucks so bad.
They got something wrong. I don't know what it is exactly.
And there's nothing else. Like, phones have become so utilitarian. Just regular phones, anyway. Like, just get the job done, get out of the way. Like, that's all I want. So that's why I keep going back to the S23 Ultra, because for the basic stuff, you need your phone to do it right. It does it right. Like, do I like the Pixel animations and some of that stuff better? Yeah, I do. I like Google's take on software. I just don't like the fact that basic things sometimes don't work on a Pixel. Like, that's super aggravating. And I don't like it or lump it, I love playing mobile games. I really do. I like getting into them. I like being able to invest time in them. And Tensor's not where it's at. Even with the new GPU update, it helped. I mean, it was pretty bad before. It's better.
It's better, yeah.
But it's still mid-range phone style. Like, and for right now, like, used to PUBG Mobile was the thing that you had to test on phones. Like, can it run PUBG Mobile very well? They've done a lot better. Now it's Fortnite. Fortnite Mobile. Like, they're starting to spend some time with the Android version and try to make it better, and they've done a lot of stuff, and it's very playable. But if you don't have a phone with some good processing to it, good luck.
Yeah.
It's not fun. And I'm getting a lot better at Fortnite on my phone and being able to play with my kids and stuff. It's a cool thing to do. And so, it's an important part of the phone process to me, and Pixel's just not where it's at for that either. So
yeah. And on the Fold specifically, you've got gyro issues.
Yeah.
That basically,
not the
if
Z
you,
Fold.
If you do, if
the
you,
Pixel Fold.
Yes, Pixel Fold, sorry. On the Pixel Fold, you have your gyro orientation on the large screen. Basically, if you go up, you go sideways in the game.
Yeah.
Because
it's a 90 degrees. It's off by 90
because
degrees.
Because
impossible to do anything.
Yeah, you can't get used to that. There's
I'm pretty
no
sure the, I think
way.
The gyro just gets stuck. on the Fold, it's stuck with the orientation of the outer screen,
right,
basically. And because it opens into landscape, that's the way the game plays. And so the outer screen's vertical,
and
the inner screen's horizontal. And it's like, and I don't know that, the thing is, I don't know that this is a problem with Pixel, because they put it off and said, well, the developers need to blah, blah, blah. But I see the same problem with Chromebooks. So anytime I try to play games on Chromebooks with Gyro, if it's a clamshell device, never has this problem. So if it's a convertible, it's always fine. If it is a tablet, and what's funny in the repositories, when you see tablet screens being referred to, they're always referred to as their shorter side and then their longer side. Like, they're referred to in portrait. And so I think somewhere on a deep level, they're programmed that way. Like, that's how it's reporting in. Like, that's up. Up is like the left side if you're looking at it in landscape, you know, always. And so because of that, Chromebook tablets always with PUBG, Farlight 84, or if you're somehow to manage to get Fortnite on there, it'd be the same thing. You know, you have it in landscape, it thinks it's turned 90 degrees on its side. And so the gyro just stays oriented that way. And I don't know, Call of Duty doesn't have this problem, is what throws a wrench in all this. Like, Call of Duty does fine on all of them. Pixel Fold do. And so I'm sure there's something the developer can do,
right,
to say, hey, force gyro to follow rotation or whatever. But it's like, if they don't do that, then at an OS level,
it's backwards.
It stays with
backwards.
The top of the screen. It's on its side.
It's 90 degrees. It's
off.
Sideways.
Yeah. It's
twisted.
No bueno. But
it's twisted.
I tried to reach out to different people about it, developers and all this stuff, and developers don't seem to care much about it, about fixing it. And, you know, Google seems content to say it's the developer's problem. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that'll ever get solved.
Yeah.
So, but if you don't use gyro on games, I guess it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's not that big
no
of a
one
deal.
Cares, but on mobile games, man,
once you get
it
used
really,
to it,
it helps make you a lot better.
Once you get used to it, it's hard to. It's hard
like,
to.
I'm not good at Fortnite with a mouse keyboard or with a controller. I'm pretty good on my phone with the gyro. Like, I can win a lot.
Yeah. And sometimes with gyro, you're like, you're in a heated battle and you're trying to get your gyro, and I'm just spinning around sideways trying to get. Yeah. So anywho, yeah, Robbie's got a new phone. We'll talk more later. But that's it for this week. We do appreciate you all tuning in and listening. We'll catch you all next time. See ya. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.